Right, okay. Hello, Matthew.
Hi.
Can we start with that question we said about just now, how you ended up getting into pre and perinatal work because you started life as a body psychotherapist?
Yes.
Because that would be great to hear.
Well, I initially got into body psychotherapy because I was working at A.S. Neil's Summerhill School. And Summerhill, as a democratic school, was really set up to see how do children self-regulate.
Mm.
And Neil and Reich were talking about self-regulation before anybody else was talking about it. It's very popular now. But what I was seeing with the children was that they were coming with a lot of history already. So I was really curious. I started to get very interested in what was being expressed there. I'd read David Boadella's book, Life Streams, which touches into the pre and perinatal. And then I traveled over to Germany to train as a body psychotherapist, very much in the traditional Reichian way. Interestingly, with my therapist trained with Morten Herskovitz, who was one of Reich's original students, and he's just died last week, so there's a passing of a whole era there.
Yeah.
But the combination of my experience at Summerhill and of body psychotherapy made me very curious about this very early experience. And I'd also trained in craniosacral therapy, so I was working with babies in that way.
Yeah.
I was seeing that they were expressing things I wasn't understanding. And then I heard about somebody called Carlton Terry, who was a pre and perinatal therapist from America, who was working in Switzerland at the time. And I was curious, maybe even a little bit skeptical, but I went over and it just opened up a whole new world for me. And so I began to see in this whole territory of human experience, which is totally in the cultural shadow. And because it's totally in the cultural shadow, it has a huge amount of power. And through training with Carlton, I began to work with babies in a different way, work with families in a different way, and work with individuals in my private practice in a different way, very much body-based. And the same with workshops. Doing workshops with adults, working in a very embodied way to create the space for this aspect of their experience to express itself. So it wasn't intentional.
No, it's meandering.
It was being led deeper and deeper and deeper
into the question. Or
Always, yes. It's like being led by the questions, being led by the client's experience, and being open to what clients were showing through their through their bodies and through themes and images they were bringing.
Yeah.
And Carlton Terry had trained with Australian psychiatrist called Graham Farrant, and Graham Farrant had described six universal body movements. He'd discovered these through partly his own self-experiential work, which were associated with very early cellular experiences. Cellular experiences which then would express themselves at the level of the organism, the whole body. And Carlton trained with him, and he began to introduce me to this territory. And again, I was skeptical. What? You know, cellular experiences expressing themselves at the level of the body. I mean, that sounds bizarre. And yet I found that to be, once I really opened up to that, and once I began to see that, again, it opened up a whole level of experience. It meant that clients could bring a whole level of experience into the therapy room that usually is not able to come in. Either because they might not feel comfortable or the therapist might dismiss it or interpret it in a different way.
Or not even been open to its existence.
Absolutely.
Or its phenomenal,
Absolutely.
And
so I talk about these templates of early experience. which get held at a cellular level. They get held within our psyche. And again, because they're often in the cultural shadow, it's like that there's a deep need within people to express something here.
Yeah.
I could give you a few examples.
Please, yeah.
So we can be talking about birth, for example, and there are four stages of birth from the baby's perspective, which have very specific baby body language. We have also seen a lot of baby body language. When I say baby body language, I just want to clarify that. Baby body language is something we see very clearly in babies, but it remains within adults, even though we've learned often to suppress it at particular times and maybe in particular situations or in therapy, talking about particular themes. This archaic body language expresses itself. And so we often see it associated with the umbilical cord and the umbilicus, people touching that and talking about themes related to that. Yeah. And very early cellular experiences associated with the sperm, the egg implantation.
Yeah.
And I can give you an example of working with somebody who was experiencing a lot of anxiety in their body. I asked them, okay, let's lie down, just see what your body wants to do. And they got into these very strong movements, which we would associate with the movements of the sperm. And she didn't understand, but I just encouraged her to stay with them. And then she suddenly connected in with this deep anxiety. She was going to die. I'm going to die here. And now, if for example, that had been a birth issue, I would have dealt with it very differently. But because I recognize this movement, and this is one of the movements that Graham Farron talked about, there were two particular points on her body connected with where the head and the neck intersect, where I made a contact, quite a strong contact there, with her permission. And I said, I'd encouraged her to let yourself die. And she went into a slightly different movement, which we associate with the actual conception. And she then went into a very deep still point. The whole room became very still. And she said, oh my God, my head's expanding. She said, "There's all I can feel. All the stuff's coming out of my head." And she said, "Oh my God, I'm in a completely different space. I'm in this beautiful, glowing, round, vast space." And her fear of dying completely went. Now, she was really describing what we know happens when the sperm head expands and the genetic material gets released. And this is just one example. I could give you hundreds like this. And unless our courses are being infiltrated by undercover embryologists, which I don't think they are, and the same with the private practice, something very profound is going on here. I'd like to give you one more example. It was just a couple of weeks ago in a workshop. I was working with somebody and she felt this need to really arch back. Her body wanted to arch back. But she felt there was this vast space behind her which was really terrifying for her, like she could get really lost there. And what I was seeing in this particular gesture was what we call an ovulation arch. It's related to the movement of the egg, which of course is a circular movement, and the body holds the memory of this arch. We work with babies with this too, where we take them through the ovulation arch. But she wanted to do this. But there was a fear there. Now, because I knew from the body language, and I really want to emphasize, this is a universal language. We might say that these are archetypal matrices which are held in the body and in our psychology, in our neurology.
Yeah.
Because I knew this, I knew how to support her in that.
Yeah.
And so I got the group, we were working in a group, to support her to go in a complete circle. She could let go. And we took her right the way around and back. And it changed everything for her. We did it twice. And she said, my God, my body's wanted to do this all my life. I've never understood why. And we were able to give her a context for it. So the fear, she was really able to link it with what was happening for her mother around the time that the ovulation was happening, preconception.
Yeah.
Now, these sound like bizarre.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they sound like bizarre experiences. And yet they're very, very profound.
And
just another example of where we work with both sperm movements and egg movements. I got some wonderful film of working with an IVF baby. This was an ICSI baby, so this is where the sperm head is injected into the egg.
Yeah.
Now a lot of these children have so-called hyperactivity disorders. Actually, what they're holding is a lot of stress and I would say trauma around their conception. And we worked with this boy, and we took him a number of ovulation arches. And the beautiful thing about this was, I mean, I really want to stress, it came from him. His body was arching. We just supported the movement. And initially he was very distressed when we did it. And he did it a few times. But each time he came through more embodied. And his mum was saying, each time he comes back, he's heavier. He's more relaxed. And each time he came back from doing this arching, he came into contact with her in a deeper way.
Yeah.
The theme she came with was a lack of bonding. He'd made more contact with her after half an hour of working with these very early experiences than he had at all until then. So we see this not just with adults, we see it with babies, we see it with children. And for me, it's like this belongs to body psychotherapy because it's being expressed through the body. And when that part of the embodied experience can be welcomed in, so I just see profound healing happen.
Well, I remember when I trained with you that the fact that you've done this training, you said to all of us, and you're receptive to this, and the just keep on practicing it because I can't remember how you said it, but clients coming will know that you're receptive to this work,
absolutely,
being in the room, and that in itself, because I must remember all of it, and I must know it overnight. That's my thing, and that really, and working with my nieces as well. I've got three young nieces. My nephew is older now, but I remember with them. I also remembered that and thought, let them be, and they'll know that you've got that receptivity and that interest in that early experience.
Absolutely.
And that was probably not the most important learning, but as important as any of the detail was the almost trusting that things want to be expressed.
Absolutely, that's absolutely true. We train people to do baby therapy, and might be midwives, osteopaths, psychotherapists, body psychotherapists, cranial practitioners, etc. And we warn them at the very beginning, it's like when you do this, babies will respond to you in a totally different way because they feel you get it. The analogy I might use is, imagine you go to a country where nobody speaks the language, and you hear someone speak your language, you're like, okay. And so for our students, it's they find if they look at a baby in a restaurant, the baby will go into a birth process or a prenatal process because they feel, okay. You get this.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yes. And also it's if clients have done work in this area and they go to body psychotherapy who hasn't, there's a responsibility to know at least something about this in order to be there for our clients.
This is a huge problem, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
And this is one of the reasons I'm really wanting to do this conference, to get this information out.
Yes.
Because we are still a small community of people doing the pre and perinatal work. And so actually there aren't enough of us to meet the need. all, you know, when you do this work, your practice gets really busy.
I
turn away people every week.
Mm.
Mm. And we work with people, and of course we don't have enough therapists to then say, okay, you can do some ongoing work with them.
Yes.
And I've worked with a number of clients who then go to their therapist and they say, look, I've had this really important experience, and the therapist is not able to meet them, and it creates a problem.
Yes.
So I think you're absolutely right. Just to have some awareness of this. I think there is a responsibility for that, because this is part of being human.
Well, it's key moments at the beginning of
really key
this
moments.
Life, or echoing all the other lives, echoing incarnation, however we understand it, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I do, and certainly I would say there's something very mysterious there. You know, when we get deeply into the work, it's not something that we can fully understand in a kind of cognitive linear way.
Yeah.
But one of the things I would say is that these are deeply, deeply formative experiences.
Mm. Mm.
Part of the reason that they are so important for us is because we're not actually treated like human beings prenatally.
Yeah.
And at birth and shortly after. It's thought of as biological events rather than actual human experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that human experience, it doesn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. Yes.
And also we had those experiences on our own, because there was nobody really connecting in with us. And this is very different in indigenous cultures. Very different. And so they have ways of really understanding how important these early experiences are. We don't. And so not only do we have that initial having to hold that experience on our own, but there's nowhere to go with it, nobody to mirror it back and to give it some give us an understanding of what's happening there. And I've worked with so many people when they do this early work, they go, oh my god, that's why I do what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those earlier experiences, of course, show up in later stresses and behavioural patterns and developmental stages. Yeah. So it's not...
Yep.
One of the things I just would like to stress is for me, this isn't a reductionist model. It's not like you are like this because of this. It's more this is a profoundly contributing factor to how you maybe dealt with something later on.
Yes, yeah.
But it's the bit that's under the radar, or it's the bit that's under the water, if you use the metaphor of the iceberg.
Yes, certainly in my experience I can see how later traumas were imprinted by birth trauma, or conception trauma even.
Exactly.
Starting to learn it, I mean, you know, obviously I'm a beginner, but starting to learn it throws a whole new light on what you do in later...
Absolutely.
...childhood or later life, and
Absolutely. I mean, we've had people, for example, who were conceived when their parents were very drunk. And we talk about imprints, and the imprint of the alcohol actually gets held in the body. And so at later transitional stages, they may actually get into more dissociative, almost like drunk type of behaviours.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly, and now they can understand it.
Yeah.
And with that understanding, working through the body as well, that imprint can be released.
Yes,
I would just say one other thing about that, which is certainly with adults, it's not, I'm not talking quick fix.
No.
Mm. I'm talking about doing deep work and having to really stay with often very difficult situations and processing them and...
Yeah.
Different layers of that, because these are so deeply formative to who we are.
And I was very excited seeing the Human Baby Human Being conference flyer come out for, I think, last week before, because I think, well, partly because I'm from here and I've trained with you and I live just up the road, but partly because it puts it on the map. You know, I've got friends who have trained as therapists, and when I talk about the work I've done, why would you bother doing that? I'm not interested in that. And alarm bells ring for me, because I think, how can you, not in a superior way, just having done the work, thinking, how can you not be interested in it? Because purely from a self-awareness point of view, but also in terms of what we can support clients with. So it's very exciting that the event's actually even happening, because it will raise awareness, even on that level, even if people don't come, you know. But, but I'd love to hear more about how the event came about and, you know, your hopes for it, and maybe a bit about the event itself next June.
Mm-hmm. Well, the event itself actually came about partly because of my partner, Jenny Mayer.
Mm.
And another therapist, craniosacral therapist called John Wilkes, who had been to a conference where there was, this was a craniosacral conference where there had been a little bit of reference to pre and perinatal, but they thought it hadn't been really represented. And they came back very kind of ready to do something. And so I thought, okay, let's go for this. And and I thought to myself, what's the really important aspect here? And then the words human being just popped into my head. Yeah. That this is it. This is this is the important thing. Let's there's a whole human being here.
Yeah.
Now how can we work as therapists with human beings, you know, with an awareness of development where that aspect of their development is completely out of awareness.
Yeah.
Now, for me, it is exactly this point that you have raised, that you talk to people about this work, and it's like a shutter comes down. Boom.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And it's a whoa.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Something very profoundly gets touched in people when you name this work. And I think it's actually unconscious.
Yeah.
And I see it amongst psychotherapists as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
People are attached to their particular model. They don't want to have to be introduced to anything else, even though there are some really profound tools here. And it's I think it's also an unconscious reaction. It's like that part of me never got heard, and boy, I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
I see this also operating in the way that babies are born in our culture.
Yeah.
So it's across the number of different professions.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But it perpetuates the same problem.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I really want to say about my work and about this conference is I've got no interest in ramming any kind of philosophy down anybody's throat. I've got no interest in converting people. I just want people to be open to the possibility. Come along, get curious.
Yeah, just see.
Just see what's going on here. Maybe there's something going on. And if you go away and you decide, well, that's all a lot of rubbish, well, at least you will have given it a try. That said, I when you look at the film of working with babies, I've never met anybody who's actually seen the film of working with babies who's actually been able to deny what they're seeing. I've had people who've worked with babies all their life look at the work with babies and say, how come I never saw that before? There is a huge amount of research. So this is not some kind of esoteric, fluffy, theoretical thing we're looking at. This is where we're looking at real research and real clinical experience. You know, the work we're doing now is built on clinical experience that goes back 100 years now, beginning with Otto Rank. Otto Rank's books, like The Birth, Trauma of Birth. And then in the 50s and 60s, it became more embodied. It's much more refined. Then it may have been in those days when people were doing this kind of very intense primal work. And people often associate this with rebirthing and primal therapy. It's actually not. It's far more, it's far more sophisticated, actually. And far more, I think, profound.
Nuanced, isn't it?
It's very nuanced. It's not just about it's not about massive catharsis. People can have cathartic experiences, but it's actually about integration, about understanding and embodying. And actually, that's one of the other things that I feel is really important, because when I started my work as a therapist, the thing that shocked me more than anything is how disembodied we are in our culture. And a lot of it comes from this very early experience. This is where the disembodiment starts. Let's take it going.
No, it's great. It's great. It's brilliant. So the conference itself, is it, would it be suitable for someone coming along with no previous experience of pre and perinatal work? You know, would they understand? Because I know there's some workshops before and after, isn't there? So will the main body of the event be understandable for any sort of trained counsellor or psychotherapist?
Oh, absolutely, right. Absolutely. I mean, we're not kind of preaching to the converted here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be interested in that. It is more about building bridges.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about getting people to understand there is very serious work being done here. And we've got a number, we've got speakers from a variety of different backgrounds. So some will be more technical, some will be more based in clinical experience. I can't believe that anybody interested in people will not be interested in this. It astounds me, really, that we wouldn't be.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, quite.
I mean, the one thing I offer that I often say to people when I do the courses is and I talk about the baby body language, I say, we've all been through these archetypal events. We've all been conceived. We've all been in the womb. We've all been born in one way or another. And, and you know, if anybody hasn't, please let me know.
How did you get here?
How did you get here? So you're talking about one of the most profound shared experiences we have as human beings.
Which we never talk about.
We never talk about it. It's like we don't look at it. It's like, why is that? I mean, that in itself is a really interesting subject.
Yeah.
Why do we not look at it? Why do psychotherapists and counsellors, why do they go, oh, I don't want to know?
Yes. Yeah, or we look at it from the mum's point of view. Was it a good birth for the mum? And the baby is, like you say, it's a biological, oh, good, it survived, therefore it's fine. No.
But this is also one of the things that got me involved in this work, because there was an ongoing debate on the radio here about the pros and cons of cesareans. This was some years ago.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is nobody talked about the baby. It's like, well, hang on, there's a baby involved in this too.
Mm.
Now, the mum's perspective is of course, important. The father's perspective is very important.
Yeah.
But what is not included is the baby's perspective.
Which is bizarre. Which shows where the society's coming from. Where we're coming from, doesn't it, in terms of whose experience we value?
Well, I think our predominant way of looking at things is based on a model which is actually fast becoming redundant. It's a materialistic model. It's a model which developed in the 17th century based on the work of René Descartes and Newton.
Yeah.
And this materialistic model means there are aspects of human experience we don't look at. And it doesn't stand up even to the new research in consciousness studies, quantum physics, etc.
Yeah.
A field theory as well.
Yeah.
So actually... these are things that we as therapists should start to get curious about, because a lot of us are working with a very redundant model. Our developmental model is based on that.
Yeah.
The research into the prenatal experience hasn't been there historically, because nobody thought there was anybody to have an experience there. And the other thing I would like to say about this, because I think it's profoundly important, is a lot of mothers in particular, but I would include some fathers too, know this instinctively.
Yeah.
And they can't talk about it.
No.
The parents can't talk about it. Yeah. Particularly the moms.
Yeah.
And so they're left.
Yeah.
With a baby that might be struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't know where to go for support.
Yeah.
The doctor suggests, say, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course, babe. Some babies are just rigid. I read this. Oh, I read this from it was a great book by a pediatrician. It was full of gems, but he said, God. Some babies are just born rigid. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's crazy thinking. That's
unbelievable, isn't it?
It's crazy thinking. And, of course, if we go back to the roots of body psychotherapy, Reich, this is where Reich was going in his work, this interest in self-regulation.
Yeah.
His whole work with infants, the book Children of the Future, it's got some great gems in there. And this is a part of the roots of body psychotherapy that I think have been sadly neglected yeah. Over the years.
Yeah.
And I think this work reconnects us
yes.
with that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And what also got what caught my attention was when you said baby language expressed at any age is universal.
Yes.
And I really like that because so often our therapy models are, they're born within a particular culture or a particular framework, nation, whatever, particular trend. Whereas if this is universal, it's very inclusive. Well, not inclusive, it's very broad and universal rather than being narrowed down by politics or trends or other things, other forces.
Absolutely. What you will see is that certain aspects of baby body language are emphasized because of the cultural way that the baby is treated.
Yes, yeah.
But this is one of the wonderful things because I am rubbish at languages. Mm. I travel all over Europe teaching and I learn a few words here and a few words there, but I can work with a German baby, an Italian baby, a Danish baby, and the baby body language is the same. Now, there will be some difference in let's say more indigenous cultures because they don't carry the same degree of wounding because they're welcomed in a different way.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that, which I find really interesting if you look deeply into it, is that their rites of passage are actually very connected with the pre and perinatal stages we work with. And so there's an instinctive understanding of these which gets worked with. But we are deeply ignorant in this culture about babies.
We just have a baby shower for the mum.
Baby shower for the
christening, which is nice, but you know.
They're all great things. But the baby gestates and is born in the cultural shadow.
Yeah.
And that is one of the deep wounds that resides within all of us in our culture. A lot of low self-esteem, a lot of aggressive behaviour. A lot of depression, the roots of it, and again, I'm not making a cause and effect, I'm just saying the roots of it as a deeply formative contributing factor is there's a story there that never got heard. We can see it in children's behavior. I work with children of all different ages. We work with these themes. We work with cesarean babies who want to go into caves and they want to find their own way out.
Yes.
And you know, it's like we work with these processes and it changes behaviors. But if it's not understood, the behavior gets medicalized now. Of course, we used to punish children. Now we medicalize them. Actually, a lot of these children on the hyperactivity spectrum. They've got unresolved prenatal trauma, birth trauma, which we could work with, and they don't need to be medicalised.
And that's an increasing trend, isn't it?
It's an increasing trend, and particularly with more technologies involved with conception and more interventions at birth.
Yeah.
Birth has become more medicalised than it ever was.
Yeah. I don't think we've missed anything. Could you... For people who would like to find out more about this, could you recommend a few books which are a useful introduction to this for those who are very, you know, it's completely new to them or things to look at online or anything like that? Because I know Somatic Psychotherapy Today has included things like this before, but sometimes what people read in the UK is very different to what they might get hold of from the US. So anything that struck you over the years?
Well, the books of David Chamberlain are very good for research into... into the fact that there are birth memories, there are prenatal memories. And I've got quite a lot of articles on my website, and that's conscious-embodiment.co.uk. And I've also got some videos as well.
Yeah.
And there are also links to various organisations. So if people went there, their articles, videos, and information.
Brilliant, thank you. And you've got your own book. In the pipeline.
My own book is in the pipeline. Hopefully I will get it out.
Birthing soon.
Yes, it's been a long gestation, a very long gestation. But the working title at the moment is The Emergence of Self and Its Impediments. And it's an integration of body psychotherapy, transpersonal and pre and perinatal.
Great. Thank you. That's a good spot to end, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you.